Hi, Michelle here. In this episode of The Birth Realm, Australian Free Birth Stories, I sit down with Denny, who shares her story with us. I love how Denny took us on her spiritual journey through pregnancy, birth, and postpartum, and how she describes for us that baby was laying transverse at the beginning of labour, and how they innately work together for baby to come through. So grab your favourite drink, sit back and relax, or hit play as you hit the road, and enjoy this episode of The Birth Realm. Thank you, Denny, for joining us on the podcast. Thank you for coming on and sharing your story and chatting with me today. So if you wanted to start off by telling us a little bit about yourself, you and your family and how many babes you have.
Yeah, cool. So my name's Denny. I'm a yoga teacher / Ayurvedic practitioner / Reiki healer. I don't know, but that's not who I am. I'm a woman of this world and really, loving life. And I've got two babies. I've got a husband called Steve. I've got a little boy called Lux. He's 3. And a little girl, Ziva, who I free birthed last year. So she's nearly 8 months now. That's us. We're living busy and just living life.
Yeah, beautiful. So great. Can you chat with us about what led you to let us know? Did you have a wild pregnancy?
I did. Yeah, I did with Ziva. So, what led me to it? You know, I've sat with this question so many times and I don't really know. It was just this knowing of just, it just has to be done this way. It just felt the most natural. When I had gave birth to Lux, it was at home. I did have midwives, but it was a beautiful birth. All went beautifully. It was a long labor and it was just a matter of me learning my body. And then it's not like anything bad happened. Like, I'm very grateful, you know, nothing huge like that happened, but there was just this element of, I guess I need to do this for myself. I need to just experience myself in my totality, to really just experience birth and the gift that it is. And in order to do that, I just knew that I needed nobody there, nobody to tell me what to expect, nobody to tell me what was right, what was wrong. And beyond that as well, beyond it just being a birth experience, it was a life experience for me, just knowing that I need to stop relying on other people for validation or whatever it might be, or trusting others knowing that they know better than I do. So it was really about that for me. It was just really learning self-trust, I think. Yeah. And so when I felt pregnant, it was just, that's it. I'm going to do it. I'm just going to trust this journey and just really connect with the baby, my body, and how this is going to evolve. And I suppose that's it.
Would you say, as an outcome of Lux's birth, that would be what led you, like, on reflection, or just knowing as well?
Because I've sat with that and I asked myself, is it because of that? And maybe bits of it, but ultimately it was just this inner knowing, that I had to do this for me, just for this reclamation of self in so many layers and levels. So with Lux's birth, like, it was a 27-hour labor, and I didn't, like, I just didn't know what was happening, and I was waiting for the midwives to come so that I could have that moment of, like, I guess confirmation that you are in labor and this is happening. But until then, I was like, what the hell's happening? And then the second they walked in, so they walked in at 7:30 p.m., I'd been laboring since 6:30 p.m. the day before. And then as soon as they came in, I had this moment of just letting go. And then he came three hours later. So when I reflect on that, I'm like, what was I waiting for? Was it, you know, it was me holding myself back? And I had to experience and see whether it was that. Because in my mind, now that we're talking about it, it's like in my mind, I thought, oh, birth's going to be, like, I'm focusing so hard on it being this spiritual, beautiful, quiet, you know, the usual hypnobirthing type of ideologies about birth. And then when I got there and it was this long, drawn-out process, I was like, what the hell did I do wrong? And so I think exploring wild birth and wild pregnancy or free birth and free pregnancy was just a matter of just finding out for myself whether it was that element of me holding myself back or, yeah, or whether it's my body or,
So beautiful.
So it was very powerful in just that reclamation and recognizing my own power and taking that back for me.
I love that. What did you, if you want to chat about your preparation and how that looked, so all of the elements, physically, spiritually, emotionally, your preparation.
So it was mostly the biggest difference for me was the spiritual. It was such a spiritual journey. Like as an Ayurvedic practitioner, I kind of knew the idea of what I wanted to do physically. You know, I just didn't do vitamins. I didn't do any of that stuff. You know, my body knew it didn't want any of that, especially when I was pregnant with Lux. Whenever I would have the multivitamins, because I was told I had to, I'd take it and my body would just be like sick and I just want to throw it up straight away. And, you know, you're like, I have to have it. I have to have it. And this time
did
I was
you,
like.
Did you relate that to the multivitamins or did you relate that back to the pregnancy and just go, oh, this is just a pregnancy thing?
No, I think because I remember stopping it with Lux eventually and everyone's telling me you're an idiot, you should be taking it, you know, if you can prevent it, spina bifida, then why aren't you doing that and taking your folate and this, that and the other thing? But I knew in me that he was going to get and I was going to get everything that I needed. And then with Ziva, I was just like, yeah, no, I don't need this at all. I didn't even go down that track. Just made sure I ate lots of good things, lots of oils and natural fats, and looked after my downward flow of energy in Ayurveda. So we call it your Apana Vayu. So lots of massage was the physical element, a lot of meditation, pranayama. It was so breath work. It was all of that. That was all it was for me. And just going with my cravings. If I crave something, just go with it. Just letting go of the shoulds was a huge thing in all aspects. And then it was just tapping into, and this is the beauty of the wild pregnancy for me, was just recognizing how much intuitively I already knew. And I kind of just followed whatever came up, whatever guided me, I just followed it and did it. So there was, instead of doing other physical things like the acupuncture and stuff, I felt like Ziva really wanted a shamanic journey, and I did that, and it was so profound. And I let go of all this rage and this these feelings that were within me from whether it's related to birth or past stories or whatever it was, it doesn't matter. It didn't need a label. I just let it go. It was the right thing to do. And then investing all that money that I normally would have done to all those other doctory things, I invested straight back into myself. So it was this beautiful journey of deep trust and feeling into what my body needed and letting go of the shoulds, and it was magic. So that was really, and then
you spoke just then about the massage that you had during pregnancy. So was that a mixture of self-massage, and did you have a practitioner that you went to see, or...?
It was self-massage and my partner. So Steve, we did a lot of massage together. That was actually another huge thing for prep for us, was really developing our sensuality and connection to one another, so that it was, you know, we connected that point of conception right through the pregnancy, right into the birth, because that was something that was probably lacking for us in Lux's birth, was there was a disconnect. So Steve, you know, didn't really know what his role, he didn't know what to do, and for him he struggles, and we've spoken about this and he's spoken about it with you, he struggles with knowing how to hold space for people emotionally and stuff. So that was a massive part of birth prep for us too, was creating that trust and that vulnerability, and him being okay with that vulnerability within both himself and then vulnerability within me in that moment. So that was a massage, and that was, the emotional
beautiful
aspect.
I love that you've just spoken about bringing the sensuality through from conception all the way through, and that's beautiful and so deep and so needed.
Yeah.
And that's that vulnerability coming through also from Steve, sort of going, yeah. Okay, yes, I see this. I hear you. I'm here for this and doing that with you.
Yeah, it was huge for him. And transformative. Like, you know, we say birth transforms the mother, the woman, but also I can see the difference in Steve too massively. Like it was including him really in that journey. Like, yes, I did it all myself. And it's not that I needed him there. I didn't feel like I needed him. But knowing he was there and knowing we had done the work and that he was there if I needed him was profound and huge. And he really did step up. And because it's, you don't want to be telling him, okay, now I want a back rub, you know, now I want you to hold my hips. So it was really important that intuitively we built that connection from throughout the whole time of the pregnancy, so that when it did come around, he was just there and he knew what to do in those moments because we built that intuitive connection. We really focused on that during the pregnancy.
So beautiful.
Yeah.
Did you want to dive into your birth story? You can start wherever you like. Love to hear it. And don't mind if I just go silent because I'm just going to be marinating in it.
Yeah, cool. All right. Let's do it. So when did it start? You know, I never really, when I say the word Braxton Hicks or whatever, I've never really connected with that. I never really understood it. And I never thought I experienced it with Lux. And I suppose if I reflect upon it with Ziva, I'd say, you know, there was this point about 3 weeks before she came that I just started feeling this downward pushing pressure, but no pain. And it was kind of like this gentle pulling. Like as I could feel this pulling, it was pulling me more and more into this birth realm, into this vortex. And it was like slowly building. And then it got to the point. So she was born on a Sunday. And I remember the Thursday, I was like, I just need a time to myself. Everyone can just go. And Steve was at work and I was like, Lux has to go to mum's. And I just spent a whole day in ceremony with myself. And there was no ritual or anything to it. It was just flowing with the day. And I made myself a cacao and I had time to just meditate. And I remember just sort of swaying with my body and not really feeling anything physically, but just spiritually and mentally, I was there in this other space. And I knew I needed space for self. And I sat in front of the birth altar for that day and I was just sipping cacao. And, you know, eventually Steve came home and he brought Lux home and we went to bed. And then the next day I was like, again, I'm like, I just need time for myself. And I just did it. And I was like, no guilt, you know, this is it. It's time to just take this moment for yourself. That's what you're calling for. Your body's calling for it. So do it. And that's when I think the reclamation power is really starting to ramp up a bit more. This like element of like, yeah, you can do it. You don't need permission. Like, do it. You want this moment for yourself, do it. And so I did. Another Friday, I sat in ceremony with myself again, sat outside. I was playing mantra, you know, and just watching the birds fly overhead. And it was so beautiful. And then I remember I was sitting in, so I know this is a bit woo-woo for some people, but I was sitting in meditation. And
give me all the woo-woo.
Yeah, cool. I was sitting in meditation and there was like, my eyes were closed, but then down my hallway was just thousands of women, like ancestral lines of women were walking into the birth space. And that was kind of like this knowing of like, okay, it's started now. And I just felt this collective presence and like energy carrying me. And I just felt so safe in that moment. Like it was so incredible. And I didn't have that with Lux because I didn't give myself the permission, I suppose, to dive into this aspect that birth could be this totally metaphysical experience, like beyond. Like I did experience it a bit with him and it was beautiful, but this was next level. And it was subtle. It was really subtle, all of these changes, but deeply profound as well. And then anyway, the day went on and then I went to bed, I think, I can't even remember now, but there was a point, I woke up at 12 a.m. and I felt this pop and I was like, and then there was this gush of warm and I was like, oh my God, it's happening. And then I actually shit myself. I was scared. I remember I was scared and I went to the toilet and I was like, I don't know if I'm ready. Sorry, I'm swearing.
No, swear all you like, it's fine.
I'm trying to really like keep it under wraps, but yeah. But I went to the toilet and there was like this, just this gush, this release. And then Steve was up and I was like shaking. I was visibly shaking and I was like, I don't know if I'm ready. Like it was like, I had no fear the whole time during the whole pregnancy. Oh no, I don't say no fear. Like there was those moments obviously of like,
yeah,
what ifs, and then you sort of check yourself and you go, you've got this, you know.
Yes.
It was the first time it physically erupted out of my body and I was just sort of like, okay, this is happening. Like, am I ready? Is this right? And nothing was happening. There was no other sensations, but I went to bed and then there was a trickling through the night and then I'd wake up and then if I'd walk, it'd gush some more. And I don't know. By the time I woke up properly, I was like, Steve, you've got to take the day off. I can't feel anything. I go, but I just need you because I'm trickling and I don't want to be able to pick, I can't pick up Lux if he needs me because it's just going to gush everywhere and I don't feel comfortable with it. And he was like, yeah, but do I need to have this day off? I'm like, yes, you need to have this day off. Like, it doesn't matter. I'm telling you now. I just have this day off. Yes, Steve, listen, mate. And he took the day off. And again, it was just another day of just sitting with myself. I was like, I don't feel like moving. I don't like the feeling of my waters gushing constantly. I just want to sit with this for a moment. And I did. And I was like in that space, you know, it was very sensual and very slow moving and like this slow ballet almost. And Steve took Lux for the day and I just sat with myself on the couch and I was listening to music and I lit candles and there was no expectation. That fear had totally gone by now. And I was just sitting with the energy of what I was in. And nothing was happening all day. Nothing happened. And then I went to bed quite early that night. And then the next morning I got awoken by that really strong pushing, pulling that I'd felt in weeks before. But this time it woke me up really suddenly. And I was like, oh, that felt like something. But I was like, oh, just take it easy. I just laid down a bit more. And then I felt it again. I was like, oh, maybe I'll just get up. It just feels right to get up. And it was that really still point of the night. And I got up. It was about, I don't know, 1 a.m. And I just sat myself out in the lounge room. There was dim light, like my salt lamps were on. And I started playing Sudoku because I was like, I don't know what's going on. I was like, but I don't feel like going to sleep. But I just want something my mind's just focused on. It was kind of like a meditative practice for me. I just sat there for a bit and then it started to feel like I was drawing more into that vortex now, that slowing down. Like I'd be staring at a number to press on it for ages. Like it wasn't like it was just this thing that I was doing on the side, you know, that was just sort of carrying me through this energy. And eventually I was just like, nah, I don't need to do this now. I just need to sink into the energy. And so I just sat there, I grabbed the birthing, like a gym ball, and I just was rocking on it and I had music on and I just put my head down on the couch with, you know, my arms overhead and just swayed into it. And it was quite like sensual and beautiful and slow with myself. And then it started getting a little bit more stronger and I was like, maybe I should wake up Steve just in case, just so that the birthing pool was in the space and all of that. And I went and woke him up and I said, it was about, what, 3? And I said, like, I don't know if anything's happening, but I just feel like maybe you should get up now and just bring the pool in for me just in case. And he eventually got up. I must have startled him because he came and met me and he goes, what are you doing? Why are you awake? And he goes, isn't it sleeping time? And I, like, the wrath that washed over me in that second, I was like, mate, it's not sleeping time, okay? And then he eventually came to and he's like, he was all good and we got over it. And I just started like rocking a bit more. And again, I was just in this uncertainty. But then it hit this point where I was like, no, I'm going to call this birth in. Like I was just like, I'm not going to wish or think or wonder. I'm just going to follow it, but I'm going to call it in. And so I had all these homemade beeswax candles that I'd infused with Reiki and mantra. And I just lit them all and I had Ganesh was there because I had a really strong connection to Ganesh and a few other deities. And, I went over and I said, you know, like remove the obstacles. Now's the time. I held my womb, like my belly, and I was just like, Ziba, I'm ready when you are, you know, or baby, I'm ready when you are. I knew her name was Ziba. I just knew. Yeah. And then, yeah, and then after that point, it was just like it started. It literally just started at that point. There was this surrender, this calling in, and it just started. I could just feel this consistency now. And it was this dance, the dance and the rhythm started to begin. And Steve was really there this time, you know, and it was sensual. And I remember moving slowly and we were holding each other. And and then I could start it feeling like really intensifying. And that was when it was like it was just me now and I was just taking over. And then I started roaring. But there was this moment I went to the toilet. And I remember reading maybe the day, a couple of days before. I didn't read much at all during the birth. I just felt like I didn't need the information. I didn't want it to come from my mind. I really wanted it to be about my body. So I didn't read much. But I remember opening it up to a page on some book, and I apologize that I don't remember what it was. But there was something that I read when it was like, using your voice is a form of pain relief. And that was something I didn't lean on with Lux. For some reason, I was just really internal with him. And it was both an element of, I don't know if it was an element of expectation of like, if you want a peaceful birth, it needs to be quiet. Or also just not wanting to be, I don't want to be seen. I don't want people to see my suffering. I want to do this all on my own. And so I was really quiet with him. And I just remember being in the toilet and going, fuck it. Like, if yelling feels good, I'm going to do it. I don't care that it's in the morning. And I just let it rip and it felt so good. Like I could just feel my whole body opening. And there was this like I don't give a fuck element in that, and that was so powerful for me. It was just like, no, this is you, girlfriend. Like, this is you, this is your baby, this is your birth, do what you want. And I did it, and it just started to intensify more and more. There was a fiery element to it, and it just was wave on top of wave, and I was so primal and raw and in it. And then I think I messaged you at like 4 o'clock, 4:30, it was 4:40, I remember, 4:40. And I was like, I don't know, like maybe you might have to come. I feel like Lux might wake up soon, but I'm not sure. And you said in your beautiful wisdom, like, you know, it's all good. You, it is what it is, and it is happening if that's what you feel, kind of thing. And then within that time, 4 minutes, it was 4 minutes, I'd message you back and I was like, no, it is happening. I think I need you to come to help with Lux. And it was 4:44 and you were literally my guardian angel because you called me at that point and I messaged you at that point and it was like, yep, it's time. It's that angel number, you're coming. And it was all good. And then it was just me in my space and Lux woke up at about 5 because he probably heard me. Yeah, he said to Steve, he goes, oh, the bin truck, like he could hear something loud and he goes, I think the bin truck's here. But he was so sweet and he came into the space and he was just such a wise little soul. You know, like our experience with him was that kids really, they know the element of birth, they respect it. There was no worry of him like running around or talking. He knew how to respect the space and the moment. And he just watched me and observed with gentleness. There was no fear either. They just know. Like, and during the pregnancy, the only weird craving I had was I had to smell both pine oil and eucalyptus oil. There was just something so satisfying about it. And it was sitting on the bedside table. And there was this moment between surges where he went over to the bedroom and grabbed it and he came over and he just like handed it to me really silently because he knew like this has been helping mum. Maybe this is what she needs right now. And I took it. Gosh. It was so sweet.
So thank you, baby. Beautiful.
It was really beautiful. It was so cute.
So and he had gone from the, because you were laboring and birthed in the lounge room. So he had actually gone from there to the bedroom and obviously connected that, yeah, this had given you relief.
Yeah,
pregnancy, this is what mum needs. How beautiful.
Yeah, it was so, and you know, it was just his observation because it's not like I ever had a conversation like these are helping me.
Yeah,
like,
no. Yep.
Yeah. And I was really like proud of him, like just in awe of him and his ability to just witness. Like I think we all could take so much from children and that sense of curiosity. Yes. and just dropping into this knowing. And he just watched, and even though I was roaring, there was no fear, no worry, no nothing. And so it was really intense. And then he just started to pick up and he just sat on the couch and he just let Steve help me when he needed to and then just let me do what I needed to do. And It was so with the labor, it was quite, when it got intense, it just got intense. Like it was like I was loving it and loathing it at the same time. And it was like there was no break in between them. It was just like wave on top of wave. And they were taking my breath away. And I'd be like, okay, it's, you know, it's dropping down now. I'm going to take a deep breath in and recenter myself. And the second I try and do that, it just start again. I was like, okay, you have to fill up the pool now. I need relief. And Steve was filling it up, but it wasn't happening quick enough. So I went and took a shower. The shower didn't really offer relief either. And I was just sort of dancing in this fiery pit. It was literally like it was incinerating my old self, all the old bits of me. And the whole time there was no, not like when I was with Lux going, what the hell's happening? Like, is this happening or is it anything? It was just the only mantra that kept going over and over in my head was, birth just happens, you know. There was nothing else I needed to lean on. There was no wondering or whatever. I was just deeply trusting that I was like at the altar of birth and bowing down at this. It's just happening and it is what it is. It might suck at times, you know, like it kind of was, it was like really intense. And there's like a video of us and I can just hear myself saying, not again, or like just enough or something like that. Or yeah, it was just like, I just need a break. Like, just give me a break. And then eventually the pool was ready and I just got in and I was expecting the same relief with Lux, but it didn't happen. And that was okay. I was just like, damn, all right, it is what it is. Just keep flowing with it and going with the waves and the flames even. And then there was this point where, because Ziva, I didn't even mention this. So Ziva was transverse. I'm 100% sure she was transverse.
I love that you mentioned this. I was going to bring it up, but I'm like, I'm so glad that you did.
Because you know what? That was probably my biggest fear going into it was like, what if? Because I had somebody in early stages of pregnancy was telling me their story about shoulder dystocia and how their baby had to get revived and all of that. And of course that, you know, it was something that kept coming up every now and then. And I was like self-talking that everything's going to be fine. My baby knows exactly where they need to be. I know my body knows what it needs to do. And I remember that's why in those initial moments when I was on the couch and I wasn't sure, when it was just me in that space and I could feel something happening, but I was looking at my belly and I've got photos of it where it was like this dip, like a donut. I'm like, this baby's not head down or anything. Like, in my head, I'm going, is it happening? It doesn't matter. You know, it is what it is. And all those fears that I'd had were just washed away in that moment. And it was just this deep trust. And so I keep coming back to that. It was this deep trust and surrender. And I just trusted her. And the intensity, I don't know if it was like a necessity to this moment, because my body needed to push her so that her head did go in the direction that it needed to, or her body needed to go in the direction it had to. And with Lux, there was this really distinct, like, yes, transition, whatever you want to call it, got to this pinnacle point and then it plateaued and it stopped and there was silence. And the pushing stage was super orgasmic and it was quite lovely. And I was hoping for that with Ziva. You know, I was waiting for that reprieve. I was like, yeah, just get this intensity over and done with so I can hit that reprieve, that plateau. And it never really happened. The pushing started while the intensity was there and it was happening, it was happening, and it was happening. And then it hit a point where I almost felt a pop. And that's when the plateau sort of happened, because she had flipped in that moment. And intuitively, like I reflect back on it, like I noticed it like a bird's eye view. You know, when you're in birth, it's like it's out of body. You're watching yourself doing it. Yeah. And there was that, I was there in the moment, but then that higher self was like, oh yeah, you're lifting your hip to one side. Like intuitively, I was just lifting one hip and sort of rolling my hips until she popped into the right place. Excuse me. And and then the pushing sort of started and everything just happened so perfectly and beautifully. And you were there, you arrived, I think around that point as well, just before that pop. And you and Lux were just drawing in this beautiful energy. But you were both so lovely, like, you know, and you just, like, I knew you were there, but you waited for me to look up and acknowledge you, and then you acknowledged me, and then there was just this knowing between us. We just looked at each other and it was so lovely. And then Steve was just there, and I should mention as well, with the shamanic journey, so there's this huge theme of this panther, right?
And Tell us about this. Yes.
So you messaged me the week before I had booked in this shamanic healing. You messaged me randomly and were like, do you know what your spirit animal is? And I was like, you know, I don't. It's a great question. But I feel like it's this black panther. And then you came over the next, you know, a few days later or whatever, and you came over and we had a chat about it. And you said, oh, mine's the elephant. And I said, oh, yeah, cool. And then I said, I think mine's a black panther. And you go like this, and you have it tattooed on your arm. And I was like, yeah, exactly like that, because of a journey I'd done before. But it was never this thing in my life ever. And then I went and did the healing a week later. And the night before I went and did it, the healer messaged me and they're like, do you know your spirit animal? And I was like, what the hell? Why is everyone asking me that? And I was like, I don't. And she goes, okay, I just feel like this is a really integral thing that you need to know. We'll discover it tomorrow. And then I went there and I stepped into her healing circle. And before we started talking, she's like, you know, I checked into your energy. And she's like, I don't know what your animal is, but this elephant just came storming into the circle. And I was like, oh my goodness, it's Michelle. She's here to protect me. Like, we were meant to work together and be together in this journey. And then later on in the journey, the panther actually came up. So she took me through this like drum journey, and there was this really like intensely visceral feeling of me turning into a panther, and I really embodied her. And something that has never been important to me in my life before is now like this panther was this key element in my journey. And then, yeah, and then in the birth, right at that point, between that, before that pop, I just had to pull on something. And I remember just burying my head into my hands, and I pushed my palms into my eyes, and there was this big panther face just right there. Oh. And I was like, yeah, she's with me. This is right. This is the time. I stepped into the power of her and the power of me, and everything just unfolded perfectly after that. And yeah, and Ziva did her little pop. And then before I knew it, I just started pushing, and before I knew it, she was there. She, but it was like, so, you know, she crowned and whatever. And then there was the next stage, her head came out, and then my body, that's when I experienced the fetal ejection reflex massively, because I was like, what the hell happened? Because next second she was floating and flying around in the water, and I was like, oh, crap, my baby. And I picked her up, and my body did it all in that last bit, and I pulled her out of the water, and it was just magic. I don't know. Oh. Yeah, so I hope I didn't. I know I just talked with your head off, but
I love it. This is what we're here for.
Oh, it's the energy, you know. I can feel the energy of the birth, and that I'm saying that fiery element. And as I'm talking, like, it's still that energy. It's like it's fast, it's hard, but that's exactly what happened. But it was so powerful, and just constantly leaning on that. Yeah, birth happened. Birth just happens. Birth just happens, and it birth does
happens. And that that full trust and knowing of your body, like coming back to her sitting transverse. And I might, if you're okay with that, share some of those photos of her. It's on your page as well, but I'll pop it on the podcast Instagram page so people can see. But yeah, was that ever during pregnancy like a concern for you? Was there anything that sort of
because I was getting towards, like, you know, the last moon, and I was like, she was just sitting, and it was uncomfortable too, and she was sitting, and I was like, what if, you know, what if? And I ended up, actually, you're right, yeah, I went and got acupuncture, and I was like, I don't want to intervene, okay, but maybe just for reassurance, I might just go get some acupuncture just to see if I can help shift her a little bit. And I remember her shifting a little bit, but she really didn't want to, because even though she shifted and her head was down at one stage, there was that moment just before birth where she just kept popping up. Like, she really didn't want to stay head down. It wasn't her thing.
Yeah.
So there was this element of deep trust. And towards the end, I was like, just trusting. I was like, you know, fuck it. It is what it is. She knows what she wants. But leading up to it, it was definitely a fear for me. I was like, can I do this? I don't know if I can. I don't know if mentally I'm prepared for that. And I don't know what it was about it, why I couldn't just trust that bit, but I just couldn't until the end. And then it happened, and it was like, Yeah, you can. That was a huge,
stepped into full trust by absolutely stepping away from control. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Full trust of baby and your body and listening. And like you said, floating above and seeing yourself. And I remember you telling me, I just, for some reason, moved my hip, kept moving this hip. And that's obviously what she needed. And you went with that. There was no resistance.
No.
Yeah.
But it was like, it wasn't even like I was doing it. You know, it's like the body was just doing it. And then I observed it afterwards. Yeah. So it was like, it was total let go of control, because if I was aware of it, then I'd still be in this element of control. You know what I mean? Like, it was
absolutely. And if you had someone there telling you, oh, you should move to this position or you should do that, that's then taking you out of that awareness as well.
1,000%.
You didn't have that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I should mention, because, like, I suppose with Lux's birth, there was like, they're like, his head stuck, you know? So when he was coming out, he came out really, really slow. And there was this point, the only time they touched me was when his, like, mouth, his bottom jaw was kind of just stuck, if you want to call it that. It was fine, you know, but that was the words they're using. And so I think one of the midwives ended up sort of just helping him out a little bit.
Yeah.
And in the back of my head, I was like, well, what if this baby needs help in somehow, shape or form, you know? And it was that constant, there was a constant dialogue between, like, my higher self, if you want to call it that, and then me, this whole pregnancy of, like, me, this grounded human with human fears, was saying, yeah, but what if? And then the higher voice would just come and knock it out and be like, you're fine. Like, it's fine. You don't need it.
I think that's what sometimes gets numbed out from so many women, like when there's all these distractions of the outside coming in. It's numbing out that higher self and that intuition and that instinct as well.
Yeah, totally. Like
that for sure.
Yeah, there was more of a disconnect, like more of a space with Lux's birth. I definitely went to those birth realms, and there was that element of seeing myself, but there was like more of a disconnect. The space between my higher self and me was bigger, whereas when it was with Ziba, it was like, we were right there. We were all elements, all parts of me were just doing what they had to do in unison. And so there was no, it was like out of body, but also very grounded at the same time. Yeah. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes sense. Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Absolutely. Mm. Did you want to share about birthing your placenta?
So I obviously just hold my placenta a little bit longer than, you know, what they say is normal, which is so stupid now.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
So damaging.
Because it was really important to me for, you know, with Lux's birth as well, that, you know, I wanted the placenta bit to be birthed and everything to happen naturally and normal. And they ended up telling me that, you know, you have to cut it. It was about 45 minutes to an hour. They're like, your placenta's not coming. We're going to have to cut the cord, you know. Like, yes, the blood had drained, and I say that with, like, inverted commas, but, like, I really wanted it to just happen naturally. But in that moment, I was vulnerable, whatever. They told me I had to cut it. So we cut it. I was a little bit upset about it. And then they ended up making me birth it on the toilet, and they gave it a little tug and all of that. And it came and it was fine. But then with Ziva, I had to really trust beyond that point, because so her labor was 4 hours, 3 or 4 hours, and her placenta stayed with me for 4 hours. Do you remember? Yeah, was it 4 hours?
It was longer than the birth.
Yeah, it was longer than the birth. Yeah. That's right. And I was to the end, and I was like, I need it to go. Like, it just felt like it was ready. There was definitely, then I could marinate in that for the first couple of hours. I was like, this feels right, you know, it felt right to have the placenta there. But then bit by bit, that slow, like, disconnect, because I was ready for her to keep her placenta, and because we did a lotus birth, so I was like ready to say goodbye to it, but something just wasn't happening. And then I think I ended up saying, I'm ready to let this go, and I think I need tinctures or whatever. And then there was a moment of, you said, just give yourself a moment and just thank the placenta and say you're ready to let it go. And I did, and I sat with that, and then I was like, why is it not going yet? But it took about a half an hour for it to happen after that, and it did. It just came out on its own. I had to go for a little bit of a walk, and then Steve helped me, and I was like, oh, it's coming now. Go grab the bowl. And he came underneath me, and then the placenta just fell gently into this bowl. And then I walked over to the bed, and it was like, you know, it's like a second birth, you know, welcome. Yeah, it was beautiful. And it was a second welcoming of Ziva in this moment. And then we got to do the ceremony of preparing the lotus birth. And that in itself was another just incredible journey. Like, when you come back to it, the whole from conception right through to the birth and then to the lotus birth, it was just this one big long ceremony. And I grieve for women that don't get to experience that. You know, it's almost like this quick, like, okay, you're pregnant now here's the next step, then here's the next step, and then the next step, and then you give birth, and then let's cut the cord, and then done, bam, take the baby, you're done. But yeah. No, it's this, like, it's this slow energetic fusion and integration and this growth, this gentle building, and then the child comes, and then there's still birth beyond that and integration beyond that. Like, I'm still in that vortex, and I probably always will be, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. And bringing that ceremony back is so crucial. And it's not over once you've got your baby in your arms. Like, there is still that birthing. And like you said, it was like another birth. It is birthing the placenta. And you did, you brought that ceremony through the whole way, like through pregnancy, like one big long ceremony.
Yeah, it really was. It was, and that was the magic of it. I got to really honor myself, my body, my baby, and the beauty of it and the beauty of life. Like, it's such an integral part of our existence. It's the moment we enter the earth and we medicalize it. Like, that just, it's so bizarre until you don't, like, when you're there and you see it, you believe it. You believe that it's this, like, medicalized thing, I suppose, to an element, you know. We all have different elements of feeling that until we really step away and experience it for ourselves. Then it's like, it's, I don't even know what I'm talking about, but it's just like that. I don't know.
No comparison.
Yeah.
Did you feel that birthing your placenta the way you did with Ziva was healing for you from lapses?
Yeah. Definitely. Because I think there was that element of like, oh, why is my body not letting go of the placenta? What's wrong with me? Why am I retaining it? Is it because I'm scared? You know, I had this, I'm like, well, what are you scared of? But no, it's just the way my body works and the energy of my body. It likes to linger. It likes to linger in that space between, I guess, you know. Absolutely. And that's cool.
It has nothing to do with your body.
And that was really like, yeah, affirming for me when I was like just able to do what I needed to do and just know that my body was perfect the whole time and that the placenta was fine, the baby was fine, you know. And she's, the difference between her and Lux honestly had, in terms of like a birth that was somewhat medicalized, yeah, with the midwives and stuff, it was very hands-off and there was a lot of trust, you know. And I remember the midwife saying to me, like, not long after he was born, that they said to me, no doubt that if you're in a hospital, they would have made you have a C-section. And so, you know, I know that there's that element of I didn't go through that, but the difference between him and her, yeah, I don't know. My God, my brain is so...
No, I know what you mean because I'm seeing these babies as well. These babies that are coming through are different, how they're supposed to be.
Yeah, 100%. And she just seems like so complete, so herself, you know, and there was no intervention with her. And there was this, yeah, she, so I had a dream as well when I was pregnant with her. And it was really like so visceral, like I was right there and she was down by this river and she called me and I walked over to the river and I was like, Ziva? And she said, yeah, like she nodded. It was like, yeah, my name's Ziva. And she had Sanskrit written on her ankles, and she pointed to her placenta, and her placenta was surrounded by roses, and she was having a lotus birth. And I said to her, oh, you want a lotus birth? And, you know, she said yes. And I was like, no problem. Like, she really knew what she wanted. And when I tapped into that and I honored that, when she came out, it was like, there's no, I don't know, no anger, no fear in her. She's like, this is what I want. I know what I want. And I'm complete and I'm happy. And in some yoga traditions, they say that the mother shares the aura with the baby until they're three. And I've heard it's until seven in other traditions. And I definitely felt that with Lux. And when I, because obviously I severed the cord, and so he needed to share that aura with me a bit more, that insulation. I don't know, this is just my experience and my witnessing, but this is what I feel like. It's like he really was attached to me, and he needed me so much more in those first 3 years. And then I felt that distinct moment of like him going, no, I'm okay now. But with Ziva, you know, everything was intact, and she is intact, and she has her own space. Like, she doesn't need me as much as Lux does. Yeah. So even the subtle energies and the mindset of how we conceive and how we go through the pregnancy and how we birth and postpartum and all of that is important. And I can see that for myself. I can see the difference in it. And we don't pay enough attention to it, because I guess people want to quantify and be able to, like, have numbers and know the facts. But there's some things we just can't quantify. There's things that we can only experience. And even as I'm talking about all of these elements and these stories, it's something that you can only really fully experience, to embody and to feel it and to see it and to know it. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, I love this so much.
Yes.
What about your postpartum? How was your postpartum with Ziva?
So much better. So much better. Mm. So it was planned, you know, we really went into that. And as an Ayurvedic practitioner too, like, I know how important that is. So there's a saying that it's like the first 42 days will judge what the next 42 years of your life will be. And if I compare it to Lux, where Lux is, I was like, yep, I'm going to rest and I'm going to do all the things. But there were so many other elements that I didn't take into account. Mm. And I ended up inviting people into my space, thinking that it was the norm, you know, my parents, all of that. And it ended up being so disruptive, and it absolutely shattered me. Things were said to me that shouldn't have been said. And no matter how many good soups and broths I ate, just having people in my space that early and people that I didn't really, I suppose, want, or the energy that I didn't want, made me feel like crap. And I ended up having postpartum anxiety and depression, undiagnosed, but I know it. Yeah. I know that that's what I had. And I felt like shit afterwards, you know. I didn't really get to soak in those moments. And I went through it like totally strung out and stressed and not trusting in myself. And I didn't get the rebuild that I needed, that rejuvenation. And then with Ziva, I was like, nah, you know what? I don't care who you are. You're not coming into our space.
Those boundaries.
Yeah. So we told everyone, you know, and we shit ourselves about it, because we're, you know, we come from two big wog families, and, you know, family is everything, and you don't tell your family that they can't come into the space. You know, they have a right there. But you know what? Our families were super understanding. And it was a fear that we were holding back, but we were like, you know, this is what we want. And they're like, that's cool. If that's what you want, then that's what you need. That's fine. And that was huge. We just got to be in our love bubble and just soak it up. And it was super slow. And I didn't have anyone telling me anything. I made people cook for me.
Yes.
In a loving way. But I was like, yeah. And that was hard for me to receive. But it was important. And you did a meal train for me. Oh, I did a meal train, I don't remember. But anyway, we did a meal train, and I accepted food, and
yes,
I was held so deeply. And you know what? I felt so good after that. I went straight back into work because it felt right and it felt organic. I didn't force it, and I felt fine. There was parts of me that would look back and be like, well, did I honor that enough? Like, should I have done that? But you know what? I looked after myself the way I needed to. And I asked for what I needed, and it was enough, and I got what I needed. So, yeah, can't recommend that enough. owning it, doing what you need, and having no expectation. Like if you want to go back to work as well, go for it. And if you don't want to go back to work and you can, and that you're in a position to, then don't.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Absolutely. That planning. How was the different postpartum for Steve? How was his experience?
So Steve took more, he did that too. He honored himself. He's like, I'm going to take a month off. He didn't do the 2 weeks and he's like, I'm taking a month off. It was important because we didn't expect the transition to happen to the level it did for Lux. And I needed Steve there because it was huge for him. He didn't know how to go from just being the one baby to now having to share, you know, his mum and dad.
Big changes, big dynamic changes for everyone.
For everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was huge. It was so good that Steve honoured that for him and for us, and he took that month off. And he was great. He was great. We did talk about it because Steve's a doer. So, you know, his, the way he shows love, it's not my love language, but his way of showing love is acts of service. And so he'll do all the things around the house when maybe sometimes I just need him to be there, like quality time or whatever. So there was a bit of a juggle with that, but it was a learning experience for us and we really got to connect deeper and talk deeper. And the birth and the pregnancy did that for us. It was healing for us in that element of like, all right, this is what happened in Lux's birth. You weren't there for me to the level I needed you to. Emotionally, you didn't know how to be there for me. Let's work on it for this pregnancy. And we did that. And we worked really damn hard through it. And then he had that month off and he's like, no, I didn't get enough time last time, so I'm going to reclaim postpartum for me too. Yes. So I can be there for you more because obviously we're a team and I need him to be there just as much as I need to be there for myself. So, you know, he did that for him and he did that for me. And it was perfect in that essence. And there was definitely some hurdles that we had to go through. But we've learned a lot about ourselves in that moment and about our dynamic. And I think, yeah.
Beautiful. I love that you touched on during the pregnancy that you both spoke, like you spoke with Steve and said, look, this is what I didn't get from you during the birth last time. This is what I need from you. And he heard you and he listened and he did that and he did the work with you.
Yeah.
You guys are such a fantastic team and communicate so well. And I know that at times you were wondering whether he was actually hearing you, but he clearly did and he did and he showed up and, yeah, doing the work together.
Oh, yeah, that's it. You know, like it is like even though it is I made the choice that I wanted him in the birth space. Yeah. But it was like it wasn't without stipulations, you know. It's like if you're gonna be there, you have to do this, you have to be able to do this, that, and the other thing. And he was so on board because I know he felt really shitty about the way things transpired with Lux in that birth. Not that he just didn't know how to hold space properly. Yeah. And I didn't know my body, and I was like, you know, what the hell's going on? Like, can you just do this for me? And then, you know, like even though you asked for something. You think that this is going to help you, like touching me, but maybe it's not actually what I need. And then there was a bit of that anger from both of us, you know. I was like, don't touch me. He's like, well, you fucking told me to touch you, you know. I was like, okay, babe, that's not happening in this birth. You need to understand that, you know, I might yell at you and it's not personal.
It's
and
nothing. Don't take anything personal in the birth space.
Yeah. And that's a huge undoing for him because, you know, and that's heaps of work for him because it's not just about the birth space. Him not reacting is stuff from his childhood. Yes. You know, this is it's deeply spiritual work and mental work. It is a rebirth for the whole family.
Absolutely.
Birth is healing when we really step into the ceremony of it for everybody around.
So healing. Just going back to Ziva's lotus birth. How long, because I do get this question quite a lot, how long did it take for the placenta to release?
It was 3 days and it was like another birth again. Like it was this really, because, you know, we're nurturing her and this placenta for the first 3 days or whatever. And, it, you know, it's just, it's a part of her and you honor that. And then I remember the moment that I looked down and I was like, oh, it snapped. We're like, welcome, baby, you know, like this, like you've landed, you're here now. And you could tell, like with her too, like she was, she slept so well for the first like few days too, and I was like, is she all right? You know, there's no waking up in the middle of the night or anything like that. Like, she was so grounded. And then there was a little bit of stirring. It was like you could start to see her coming into herself, and I could tell the placenta was going to release just by that alone soon. And then there was, yeah, just that moment on the third day in the evening, and it just popped and we all just sort of celebrated. It was so lovely.
It is a celebration.
Yeah. So it was beautiful. Really nice. And then we buried it. So we've got a tree. We've got a jacaranda out the front, and we've called her Tilly. She's, you know, a big part of our family. We love her. We get tree loppers all the time going, we could fix that problem out the front. It's like, get away.
She's not.
And so I still had some capsules because I encapsulated Lux's placenta. So we buried both of them at the foot of Tilly, and all the flowers that were on the birth altar that were gifted to us by our family and friends, you know, we adorned it, and we had a resting place, and we would tend to it. And yeah, it's so special. I loved it.
So special.
I recommend it to anyone, like, honestly.
I think there's a lot of I find anyway, there's a bit of hesitation around it because people think that it's going to get in the way and it's going to be annoying, and how do you take care of it? Did you want to walk through how you took care of it and how you managed? Like, I think some people think, oh, if I'm walking around with baby, it's difficult.
Yeah. So, okay. So we dried the placenta, rinsed it, dried it off, and then we just covered it in beautiful pink salt. And we got a herb mix. You can definitely make your own, but we got a little placenta kit. And so it's beautiful flowers. Like, it smelled lovely. It just smelled like lavender and chamomile. And we had this beautiful basket made. It was a woven basket, a jute basket, and it just sat in that. And then so every day we would tend to it. So we'd take off the old flowers and the salt, and then re-salt it. And, yeah, so it was this nice little beautiful practice and this ceremony that we all got involved with. You know, Lux would love it. He'd also be like, oh, are we doing the placenta now? You know, we're going to go. And I was like, I'm just going to hang out in bed. So Bub's just going to be there next to me. And so it was probably a little bit awkward at first because you're trying to get used to the dynamic of where do you put the baby in the placenta. But after a while, it just became this thing. Like, you just accepted it. And then the firmer it got, you know, you look at it and you'd be like, oh, is that pulling? Is that, you know, you were a little bit cautious, but it really invited you to stop and slow down. That was my experience anyway, was just to not have to move around too much. And we just sort of got used to it, I suppose. And it was only 3 days at the end of the day for us. But I think we did move with her a couple of times. But, you know, it was nice. You know, we walk around as a family. Steve would either hold the baby or the placenta, and then I'd hold the other one, you know, we're holding this little angel that's just been born, just really honouring her, you know. So it wasn't an issue for us, I guess. And I know, if we wanted to, we would have snapped it off, you know, if we really felt was ready.
In terms of postpartum healing, how did your body feel afterwards?
So I got like I don't know, this is like brought me inwards a bit more, because I still feel like my body's like I've got this love-hate relationship with it at the moment. Like, I healed okay. There was a moment where I bent down to get the cat really quick and I moved too quickly, and I felt this tearing, this feeling inside me. I was like, oh shit, I shouldn't have done that. Like, I didn't look after myself in that moment. And to this day, like, full disclosure, I know this is going out to a lot of people, but I can't go to the toilet without being in so much pain. That's nothing to do with anything. Like, my body's perfect. And it's just this new, I've just got to understand this dynamic. And maybe I need to adopt this a little bit, but I'm just too pushing that aside.
You're still healing though.
Still healing, that's
still
it.
Still healing.
And I think that's a lesson in itself, and that's a necessary part of my journey, because I feel like maybe, you know, I did rush into things because I felt so good, because I was so nourished in that the early postpartum, that I went straight back into it. And I think my body sort of, it's a reminder to just go, hey, slow down a little bit still, you know, slow down a bit. And so I'm still coming to terms with that. But otherwise, everything else was actually so much better, because with Lux, I was walking at a right angle for, you know, days, because my body was just not great. I was stressed out. But in terms of everything else, energetically, I felt great. Strength, I felt great again. The after, what do you call them?
You know, the after pains.
They were intense for me, which I didn't have with Lux. But other than that, my body felt really great.
Mm.
Really great afterwards. It's just that one little bit. It's probably just hemorrhoids. Like, <that's weird. laughs> But yeah. Don't go away.
You are definitely, I want to remind you, you're definitely still healing.
Yeah, no, that is true. And I do tell myself that every now and then. I just check in and, it's just that love-hate relationship that I just wish it was healed. But it's, again, calling me to just surrender back and trusting our body's wisdom and.
Absolutely. Is there anything that you'd like to share with everyone listening?
Just, you are incredible. You know, like, anybody who's listening, you are so incredible. Your body is amazing. Your babies are amazing. The whole way that life unfolds is absolutely perfect, and you can trust that. You know, we don't need to harness and control everything, because the reality is we can't. We can't control everything. And the most beautiful thing that we can learn and reclaim for ourselves is trust, because if there's anything that the patriarchy, the system, anything else external from us that has taught us to believe about ourselves, that's the biggest load of bullshit, is that we can't trust ourselves, or, you know, that healing has to happen externally. Everything that we need is within us. And I know that sounds cliche, but it's the damn truth. And maybe we've made it into cliche because they don't want us to know that's the powerful truth. And if you learn nothing else in life, you know, if you don't focus on anything else, let it just be. The one thing is that you learn to trust yourself, because, you know, you can. You really can. Everything.
Yes. Thank you for that. Thank you for that, Danny. Thank you so much for chatting with us and finishing off with such a strong, powerful, honest statement for everyone to hear and receive. So thank you so much for coming on and chatting with us.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thanks for letting me blab on.
I loved it. Loved so many goosebumps and just reliving everything and amazing. Thank you so much, Danny.
No, thank you.
Thank you.
Cheers.